and you would like to look at this or follow me in it, you can get your Bible and open it to the first page, Genesis chapter 1. Or the first chapter, I should say that, because first page might be indexed or something like that. But Genesis chapter 1, and we'll jump in right there. And I say this, and I want to repeat this, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. Repetition for me is my best teacher, because I generally don't get it the first pass or second or third. Sometimes I got to go at it 2 or 3, 10 times, you know, to try to get it. And so for me, the Bible has become more of a book about the anatomy, the structure of the physical body, than any other thing than that. And so for me, I see that on about every page. I can extract something about the anatomy from almost any page in the Bible. And so from my study or research, I realize it is a typological book or allegorical book, or I'm trying to reclaim the word myth, because myth has taken on mostly negative meaning from most religious schools or thoughts. They think a myth is something that's a lie or false truth or whatever. But a myth is an allegorical story, when told correctly, will energize something that's already in you. You hear that? Can you hear that? In other words, when a myth is told correctly, it will energize the power of God that's already many times latent within us. It'll stir you up. It will begin to, and you know what? Many times what you would say is, well, I see that. It's not that you physically saw something. You connected some dots, and all of a sudden you had that energy of recognizing something you already have. And that's what it means to recognize, to put it back together again. And so most of the time, through coming through the womb and then growing up or maturing in this dimension, we get off track. Because a child, I mean, an infant, they're just a magnet. They take in so much stuff by the hour, by the day, by the week. I mean, you know, it's just amazing what a little nothing can know in 2 or 3 years. It's just amazing to sit and think about it. And then what happens is that ability gets stifled. And it gets stifled by just living. It's not anybody's fault. I'm not throwing stones at anyone, parents or grandparents or caretakers, anybody. It just happens. And so many times we begin to live out of the things that happened, not out of who we are and not out of our ability. We live out of the things that have happened. And so what I want to share with you about is that the Bible is about the temple. Okay? And the temple is about the body, which you all have. Your body is a temple, is a house, is the place that this energy or this essence or this ether, or the names are just on and on and on, but we condense it into a word and we call it God. Now, see, when you say God, or if I said ether, you think two different things. Or if I said source, you don't nearly think the same thing. So when I say God, then all of a sudden your thinking just goes awry. It goes back into the programs that you have been able to draw in or be taught, the things you've been taught. So if you're a Buddhist and said God's going to say something, if you're Hindu, say God's going to say something different. You see what I'm saying? If you're a Baptist, say God, you're going to think one thing. If you're et cetera, et cetera. So when you use the term God, then it just gets, it's just multifaceted. But when you go into the scripture and you look at the scripture from its original source or its original language, and in my case, going back to the ancient Hebrew that it was extracted from, the stories were extracted from ancient Hebrew, I go back, then I see what that word God is. I see what it's saying. Then it paints a different picture, and I realize that my body is the temple, the house of God. And Scripture says that, right? It validates that. Most people would, yeah, okay, the Scripture says that very clearly. But, on the other hand, they say, well, God's going to come back and live in a house somewhere over in the Middle East. Or God as Jesus. Jesus as God will come back and live over in the Middle East in a house that he's got. Or if God's up on the planet in heaven somewhere out yonder, we concoct a place out there. He's got a huge city and he lives in his house. And these things are not true. But we have been taught, and many times we embrace these ideas, far-fetched as they are, we embrace them. And sometimes people will fight for them. I mean, they really will. They get really outright angry with you. So, I wanted to take these two verses in the book of Genesis, the first two verses, and just read them and look at them from their original sources somewhat. Like, for instance, we go, in the beginning, God. And so, when we say that word God, I'm going to put it on the board in Hebrew. Aleph, Lamed, how did I spell it? Aleph, Lamed, Hey, Yod, Mem. Aleph, Hey, Yod, Mem. And each of these glyphs in the Hebrew, each of these glyphs have tremendous meaning in themselves, but they spell the word, and you're familiar with it, Elohim, right? Everybody should say that. Say it, Elohim. Elohim. Or it can be said this way. See, this Aleph or Elif can be said either way. It can be said as Al, like in Hindu, Allah. It can be said that way. It's the same because it's our English A. Aleph or Elif. A with the L or E. It doesn't matter. Or it can be A-L, which is L. E-L or Al, A-L. So either way you say it, and what the word means is God's. It doesn't mean anything other than that. It means God's. And now that really throws you a curve. I mean, it's not hardly anybody can say, well, wait a minute, I thought that God was only one God. And so this is where we get into so much problems, so many different ideas. But no, it means gods. And when it's referring to the gods, the only way I can describe this, and again, this goes into ancient material, when I'm talking about the gods, you have to have a circle which represents the no-endingness. Because a circle doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. It represents eternal or everlasting, whatever. So the non-ending circle represents all that is, all that ever will be, all that ever has been, all that ever can be. So that, and then when you put a cross in the middle of it, the cross is always a symbol of matter. So Jesus being hung on a cross is a type of man being hung on the cross of matter. In other words, that you see how my arms out, my body erect. That's the cross right there. It's the physical matter. So that's what the cross in the middle of it represents. So it's the birthing of the astrological wheel. And it always starts out at Aries, which represents the head. And it always, I'll just put that there. And it always ends at Pisces, which represent the feet. And I know you've heard this passage of Scripture in Genesis chapter 3 about the feet and the head. You've bruised my feet, but I'll bruise your head. Y'all have all heard that passage of Scripture, and it's been grossly misused and misunderstood. But all it just means is trying to give a completion of the circle. In other words, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. So if I straighten the circle out, up erect, then here's your temple, the physical body. And in ancient Hebrew, that was called the Adam Kedmon. Or, in English, it would be the God-man in the sky. So, it's saying that all of the 12 astrological signs, each sign, 30 degrees, 360-degree circle, all of those astrological signs represents a facet or function of the physical body. All of them do. And so, the circle can actually be broken down into, and I'm doing this, and some of this is just kind of, I hope it's a repeat in a way. I hope this will show up maybe. So the circle can be broken down in so many different ways. But the circle has 12 pieces of the pie, right? These 12 pieces of the pie represents the head, that's Aries, Taurus, the neck, Gemini, in other words, the two sides of the body. You know, if you split your body, you have a right and a left. Gemini, the twins, Cancer, the lungs, Leo, the heart, Virgo, the womb, Libra, the pelvic, and Sagittarius, Scorpio, Capricorn, and that all deals with the legs. And all of it fits. It's perfect. You can't change it. It's eternal. It's written in the sky. And so the energy that the sun gives us every moment, every day, at every increment is affecting us in these different areas. It's just simply that way. And the reason I did this, broke it down, this circle of 12, these are the gods. So when I read that, in the beginning, Bereshit, that means at birthing, that's what that word, Bereshit, are translated in the beginning, Bereshit, Bereshit means at birthing, or when you first appear. I mean, the word Rashit is the word for first in Hebrew. Beth is the word, is number two. Beth is the house. Y'all have heard of Beth El, house of God, right? Y'all have all heard that? Yes. So you have to get all these terms. You have to realize. So when it starts out in the beginning, God, it's really way off base. It's really way off base. But then again, if he's trying to tell a story, you're going to have to look more into the depth of the detail of this story to even make sense of it. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make sense out of how this is starting out and what it's saying, because it's tremendous. And once you see that, once you get certain basic principles in place, you can see how it unfolds. Physically, psychologically, and spiritually. Because it unfolds in these three divisions, three facets. So the Elohim is the gods. The gods are the 12 astrological signs on the 360 degree circle of space. The vast nothing. Or you could say the vast everything. It doesn't matter. But because the no thing is everything. But any one thing doesn't necessarily include everything. So that's why you can say, as Paul said in Romans, God is all, the whole thing, the whole ball of wax, the whole shebang, and in all. Ain't nobody's not. You understand that? So when we start out right here, right out of the starting gate, we have to get God right. And God always represents the astrological wheel, or the whole circle, or the whole thing, from the top of the head, right here, Aries, to the soles of the feet, Pisces. So everything in the circle is God, i.e. the gods. And each segment of this is the El. In other words, power. Not force. There's a huge difference between power and force. Power is always moved by love. Force is always moved by possession or by anger or whatever. In other words, you can force something to happen and you may not like it after you got it. There's a difference. Force is more or less human control, like that's what we call armed forces. What does that mean? If our armed forces, if our dog's bigger than your dog, then we in control. If we got more power, force, we control you. God doesn't do that. You can say, wow, God's all powerful. God's all powerful. Power is always motivated by love. Nothing else. Nothing else moves power but love. Now, that's a real hard thing for us to grasp. But now, see, what I'm talking about, if we can get this right, if we can go back and we can look at it and reanalyze it, we're going to realize this is about me. It ain't about him or her, them or they. It is about me. And if I can ever get it right about me, then it's okay with him or her or whatever. Because, you know, one of our greatest problems, we always trying to fix them. I'm always trying to fix him. I'm always trying to fix her. I'm always trying to fix these kids you gave me. I'm always trying to fix this and fix that. Right? Talking to me. Can't fix none of those. You can just, you know, just take a weight off your shoulders and realize the only thing that you need to be about is o numero uno, yourself. Because you get your house in order, you get your house right, then everything around you is okay. It'll be okay. It's fine if somebody wants to be that way. It's okay. It's them. It's not you. Oh, well, I don't like the way. Big deal. A lot of people don't like Spanish. I do. You know, likes can be cultivated. You know what I'm saying? Don't like this, don't like that. Well, big deal. You know what they say? Get over it. Get over it. The reason I divided this circle of 12 into three is because numbers are extremely important. You know, everything comes out of number one. That's the Aleph. This is number one in the Hebrew. Okay? And then the Beth, which Beth or Veth, that's number two in the Hebrew. And then Gimel, that's number three. So everything builds. So God, number one, the source, unfolds itself, splits itself, divides itself, mirrors itself, makes itself into male and female, so that it can see back at itself, to see how it itself is. And that's what the Beth is. That's how you get the number two, okay? And then, so that it can be in the midst of itself, it comes up with number three. And number three is going to be important, and that's why I've got three divisions right here in one circle. And this division in Hebrew is called the Aleph. This one in Hebrew is called the Mem. And this one in Hebrew is called the Sheen. So you have Aleph, number one. You have Mem, which is number 40. And when you see number 40, all through Scripture, it's always referring to the water or the mass of water or materiality or trials, tests, etc. Things like that. Things that are being proved. When something is being tried, it's being proved. It's not being tempted or lured. That's religion gave us that idea. I mean, there's not anybody, hardly, that doesn't build a water system in a house and then throws the pressure to it, the power to it, to make sure you don't have a leak. It would be foolish to build a system and then cover everything over and then throw the power to it and say, oh, wow, we got a leak there in that wall. Now we've got to tear all that out just to get to that. No. See, when we see this proving, testing, we're going to see that it works. That's what God does. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 3? It says Satan tempted Eve. Y'all remember that story?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it ain't in the Bible. It ain't there. They ain't nowhere in Genesis chapter 3 that anybody was tempted, period. But you've been told that there was. You remember that passage of Scripture that says godliness, cleanliness is next to godliness? Y'all remember that passage? It ain't in the Bible. I have people all the time ask me questions. Here we got these folks that's in there, you know, that are coming here, and all of them have their religious idea. Well, where's this in the Bible? I said, it ain't. Oh, it is too. I know it somewhere's in there. It ain't. All these ideas that people tell us, it's in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. They're ideas that people come up with. And many times we're just moved by that. So 40, that's the word mem, or the glip mem in Scripture. So when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil, now we have read that one in Mark chapter 1. We have read that one. But if we understand it, it's just proving to the Son of Man who the Son of Man is. That's all it is. It's just like if you and I can get this correct and prove to yourself that you are who you are. When you prove to yourself that you are who you are, that God is in you as all power, as all ability, then you'll begin to take on life in a different perspective. You won't look at it like, I can't. I mean, I don't have what. No, if you find out who you are, this is about finding out who you are. It's about finding out what you're made up of. When you get to realize who you are and what you are made up of, then you realize you are all powerful. That I can do all things through this anointing, Christing that's within me. I can do that. If we get over that hurdle, because many times we are beat down through religion and through other things, beat down, saying, well, I can't because. And then you'll fill in the blank. You'll fill in, because of this, because of that. Take away the because. Take all that out. So, and then the sheen, this represents the fire or the breath. So these are called, in Hebrew, they're called the three mothers. And the reason it's called the three mothers is because they're all three of these glyphs are creative. That's the reason they're called mothers. Okay? It's just like every one of you, both male and female, are both male and female. And that's a hard, like I'm a man. I say, well, I'm a man. Well, you have a feminine side. No. Yeah. You do. Everybody does. Every female has a male side. So we all have that. And that's what the Gemini, the twins are about. The two sides. Okay? So these are called the three mothers. The Aleph, the Mem, and the Sheen. And I'm going to kind of work with them in just a minute. Mothers, just simply because of the creative ability. A mother can be a father. You understand that? Just like the Aleph is called a mother, but the Aleph is also the father semen seed. How's that? By the word. Do you women have words? Absolutely. Are your words male or female? Your words are all male. No matter who you are, your words are male. Why? Because they're seeds. You hear what I'm trying to say? Because your words are seeds. And where do you plant those seeds? You plant them in the environment that seed will grow. And that environment is different. Different environments grow different things. But every one of us, male or female, your words are seeds. So that's the Aleph. It's male, even though it's a mother. Am I making that sense? Because it's creative. In that respect, it's mothers. It's creative. And then when you come to the Mem is feminine because it's matter. And the words that you get out of the Mem are Mary, Martha, material, mariner, marine. All of those M words come from the Mem. Water. The sheen, shh. What happens if you touch a hot stove with your finger? You can hear it. That's what the sheen represents. Fire or breath. The wind or the power of the breath. So I'm going to try to work with these three mothers. They represent the whole wheel. And they all work in every one of you. And they're really all through Scripture in different ways, in different fashions. So the Elohim is the three or the 12. The three divisions or the whole 12. That's the Elohim, the gods, the creators, the creatives. Now go with me to 2 Chronicles. That's a little harder one to find. 2 Chronicles, chapter 3. And then you're right there close to 1 Chronicles. We'll look at 1 Chronicles chapter 6, but let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 3 first. Okay, Kabbalah comes from the Hebrew word kabbal. That word is used today And I'm not. I think it's used negatively in some circles. I'm not really sure. I hear it every now and then. But the ancient Hebrew word kabal actually means receiver. And it's what it's referring to is every one of us are a kabal. Every one of you. Why? Because you receive the energy that comes from the source. In other words, right now you are like an antenna and you're drawing energy from the source. Whether it's the ether, whether it's the air, whether it's the sun, whatever things that you want to call it, that is God. So right now you're receiving energy from God. And if you weren't, you'd cease to be. You just wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be. So the word kabal means receiver. So in ancient Hebrew, they come up with a concept and called the concept Kabbalah. And in the Kabbalah, there was what's called the Tree of Life. And everybody is interested in the Tree of Life without understanding much about what the Tree of Life is really about. But everybody's interested in the Tree of Life from Genesis chapter 2, right? And a lot of time people are wanting to find the Tree of Life so they can eat the leaves or the fruit from it and live, right? I mean, we're taught these things like that in Christianity. But this is the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. It's made up of what's called 10 sephirots. The reason it's made up of 10 sephirots is Genesis 1, God said. Everybody say said. 10 times. Each one of these circles represents those 10 saids. In other words, God. So if God said it, is it? Well, of course it is. It bees. God said it, it bees. It's just that simple. God said, and it bees. But there is a pattern to this mass of confusion. Because I realize that a lot of the things that I say are confusing to the normal Christian ear. They think, what in the world is he talking about? But when you get past all the confusion and start putting a few of the dots together, you begin to see, oh, I can follow the pattern. The pattern's not as complicated as we make it many times. A pattern can actually be broken down, just like I said, in the glyphs. 1, 2, 3, 7, and 12. Boy, now those are major numbers. But then if I come back and I can say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Man, those are powerful numbers. But you can take certain ones, and once you begin to put them in place, you can begin to see the power that's in these numbers, getting into gematria. So the Tree of Life starts out like this, and the first three are common in all cultures. Have you ever heard of the Trinity?
Yes.
Well, what is the Trinity? It's made up of three. If I were to ask you what's the Trinity, what would you say?
Father, Son,
what? Father, Son, and Mama. Father, or you'd say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Or if you're in certain groups, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah. Like the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit's different or something. But anyway, well, what if y'all were all Chinese? Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. Same thing. And what if all of y'all were Egyptians? It would be Isis, Osiris, and Horus. Same thing. So I don't care where you want to go on the earth, you're going to come back to the three mothers. I don't care where it's at, you're going to come back to the three mothers. And understanding the three mothers, coming to get a grasp of these three mothers, will help you to unfold in revelation of what this book is about, because the three mothers represents your physical body. And it's getting to the place where I can recognize and realize these three mothers and how they work in me, our three powers, our three abilities, any way you want to look at it. Now, this picture is called the Tree of Life. It's not any different. I don't know if I'm my black and blue showing up good, Kirby. I guess they are, aren't they? Yeah, sure. It's not any different than this character, which we are very familiar with here. And we call him the stick man. In other words, this is you. This is you. Or this is what we call the seven yawns. Y-O-W-M-S. Yawns in Hebrew is the facets of life. The seven facets of life that make up the physical body. Okay. So the tree of life and the physical body are the exact same thing. You might wonder, how would you do that? Starting out with the three, okay? The father, mother, son. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, etc. Isis, Osiris, Horus. It doesn't matter. All of them the same. Now, do you have those? Yes, you do. And I want you to look with me. 2 Chronicles. And I want you to find chapter 3, verse 17. I want to read this to you. It says, verse 17, it says, "And he reared up the pillars." Everybody say pillars. Pillars. All right. Now, let me show you these pillars. I'm going to draw them. Those are the pillars. Three of them. Everybody say three. Three. Okay. "And he reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand, the other on the left." Now here we go. One on the right hand. One on the left hand. One on the right hand's male. Positive. The one on the left hand is female, negative. The one on the right hand is, well, I won't go any further with that right at the moment, but just want you to get a picture of this. Just get a picture of this in your head. "And he reared up the pillars before the temple, one on the right hand, the other on the left, and he called the name of the right hand, Jachin, and on the left hand, Boaz." Now, y'all have all heard the story of Jachin and Boaz, haven't you, in the temple of Solomon? No? Okay. Well, that's what these are right here. This is the temple of, this is Boaz, and this is Jachin. This is the male and the female. And let me show you what they represent. You have them. And I said, this and this is the same identical thing. And what you have right here in the stick man or in your physical body is you have a brain that has a right and a left side. You have a brain that has a male and female hemisphere. I don't care who you are. And right down, and they're connected, the right and the left brain are connected by this center column, and the center column runs right straight down. It's called the right and left brain. What's the spinal cord called? Anyway, you follow what I'm saying? Are you getting the picture? So really, you have a right and you have a left, but then you have a center column. You have a center column. See, like on the temple of Solomon, you have a right pillar and a left pillar. And everybody says, but there's no pillar in the middle. No, a door to go into the temple, the entrance of the temple is the center column. You follow me? You have the same thing inside your body. So we have this temple. Go with me to 1 Chronicles real quickly. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. It's the only place you'll find this in the entire Bible. This phrase. Now you all probably have heard this phrase, and I'm sure you have, and I pray that you have, but maybe you haven't really totally understood this phrase. Because again, I'm saying this, it's about the body, it's all about the physical body. Okay. And the three mothers are the three columns, are the three. You have a right and a left, and then the center. Chapter 6, 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 10. You there? It says, "And Johanan begat Azariah. He it is that executed the priest's office in the temple." Everybody see that? Everybody see that word temple?
Yes.
That word temple is bayit. Bayit. It comes from the Hebrew glyph beth or beth. Bayit. And it means house. It's called temple, but it means house. It's referring to the physical body. There never has been, because there never was, a literal temple of Solomon. Saul, Solomon, the word Saul, a man, comes from three different words. Sol, S-O-L, Om, O-M, and then On, which are three different words for the sun, S-U-N. Sol is a word for the sun, S-O-L. Sol is the sun. Om, O-M, is a word for the sun. And On, or An, is a word for the sun. And so it's referring to the three facets of the sun that lifes and energizes your body. And you'll find this to be true many times if you just get out and walk in the sun, or if you'll just get out and sit in the sun, or if you'll just get out and just soak in the sun. You'll find it peaceful. You'll find it empowering. You'll find a lot of different things that's happening. Why? It's just direct communication. It's Kabbalah. It's you receiving that source, that energy. And so I highly recommend you do that if you haven't done it. So Johanan begat Azariah, he that is that executes the priest's office in the temple that Solomon, Solomon, built in Jerusalem. That's the only place in the whole Bible you'll find the Temple of Solomon. Yet you've heard of the Temple of Solomon all of your life. And you've heard of these different characteristics, like we read about Jacob and Boaz. You've heard all of these different facets, but it's all referring to these three different columns. Now go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. And I'm just going to see if I can button this up a little bit. And we'll just close, or we'll unhook. All right. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." You know, I'd like to break all that down, but just for time, I won't get bogged down there. "And the earth was without form." Form. This word form actually comes from the Hebrew word Tahu, which is this right here. Form comes from Tahu, which is masculine. And void, you see that word void? Bohu, bo, ba, beth. This is feminine. And it means strength or creative. Strength or creative. So you have, notice these words right here, form and void. Now everybody has tried to translate this, that God forms everything out of a vast void. Is that what they always told you? I mean, that's what most religious people, out of this vast void. It's just not true. Right here, "The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep." Darkness, this is the darkness. It's the center column. It's out of the darkness that the sun comes forth. I mean, everybody, they call it the glory. I did a series, gosh, years and years ago, called "The Glorious Darkness," that's listed in Isaiah 45. The glorious darkness is that which the sun emanates out of. It's called black light. And it comes forth from that energy. So it's that darkness, that's that sun, that's between these two pillars that comes back to the three. If you can get this in your own physical body, and hear this. You have within your physical body, you have a masculine side that's aggressive. You have a feminine side that's not aggressive. And they constantly are in struggle with each other, aren't they? You're constantly fighting with your masculine and feminine. You're constantly fighting with this thought against this thought. You constantly struggle and you war. And you should never struggle and you should never war, because we are called to be a people of peace. How do you get that? You have to get it by coming to the center column. The center column, where is the sun, the energy, always brings you to balance. It's just exactly like this. If I put Libra right here, Libra, that's where Libra grew. Actually, this is where Libra is at. Libra being the pelvic. The pelvic. The place of the ovaries and the gonads. The place of creativity. The place of balance. The place of male and female. The place of positive and negative. And without balancing that, we constantly war and we constantly struggle. So we want to learn to bring balance to it. This got judgment, got translated as judgment, and when we got over into judgment, then we constantly begin to judge ourselves, or judge other people, or condemn this, or condemn that. And you know what Jesus said? Do not judge anything or anybody. Well, ain't nobody ever got that passage of Scripture down, but it clearly says it's not like plain as the nose on your face. Do not judge. And what do? We constantly get judged. Why? Because we are a people torn in our own house. My own house is at war with itself. It's pulled from the right to the left. It's trying to judge this or judge that. Rather than coming back to what this sign truly meant. It meant the pelvic. It meant balance it. You have to balance the energies of your right and your left. You have to balance your male and your female. You have to bring balance to it. Those are your three mothers. Those are your three creative energies. And the most important one is not the right one. It's not the left one. It's not the column on the right side. It's not the column on the end. It's the column in the middle. It's the door into the temple. It's the house. It's the place where you bring balance. And if we do not learn to bring balance, if we don't come to this place, then we'll constantly be in turmoil and struggle. We get ourselves caught in addictions. We get ourselves caught in habits. We get ourselves caught in judgment. We get ourselves caught in condemnation. Constantly back and forth. Somebody didn't do something. Somebody did do something. Bless God. What do you do? Well, I've got me a stone. I got me a big rock I'm going to throw at them. Yeah. Well, you know what the problem with a big stone and a big rock is? A boomerang. It'll going to come back and hit you in the head. Chunk all of them you want to. They'll come back. But if we come to the place where we can bring balance, does anybody ever make a mistake besides me? Oh, I make plenty of them. Don't we all?
Yes.
But we have to come to this place. You notice between your right and your left hemisphere, you notice you have this one instrument. It's called a tongue. And James said it like this. He said the tongue is just like the rudder of a big ship. It, even though it is a very, very small instrument, it will guide and direct the whole massive ship. The tongue, coming back to that place, the place of peace, the place where I can speak creativity rather than judgment, the place where I can speak love instead of hate. That's hard, isn't it? I'm talking to me. I'm preaching to myself. So, Tahu and Bohu, and it's this vast darkness, verse 3, and God said, here is your said. Here is this Sephirot. This is this release of the energy. And God said, this is it right here. This is the top. This is called Keter. In Hebrew, it's called Keter. And you know what it means? It means the crown. It means the top. It means the crown, the place where the seat of judgment. That's a bad terminology. The seat of balance is at. So when you go to Revelation chapter 4 and you begin to see the cranial nerve, that's the one. The cranial nerve, that's the other column. See, I knew it'd come right back to me. So you have a male and a female, and they both feed into a cranial nerve. And the cranial nerve runs all the way from the top of your head down to Libra, down to your pelvic, down to the place of balance. That's exactly where, and God said, notice what God said, let there be light. Wow. So when we come back to the keter and we begin to bring light to the left, male, we begin to bring light to the right, to the female, we begin to bring light to it, we bring balance to it, not judgment, not condemnation. We bring balance to it, we empower it. We disempower it when we get these things all messed up. We hurt ourselves. We disempower ourselves. We are powerful and we are strong, and many times because we do not know how to wield the sword, the rudder of this ship called my physical body. But when we learn that, you know, it's like this. Is this essential? No, this is necessary. It's necessary that we are taught, that we learn. Otherwise, will you stumble up on this? I don't know. You think you'll stumble up on this? You might. I don't know. You might. Well, I can tell you it's took me 40-something years going pushing at 50 to work and dig some of this stuff. To me, it's just like Proverbs says, gold and silver don't lay on the top of the ground. If you want gold and silver, which equates into resources, if you want that, best I've found, you have to dig for it. You have to dig for it. You're going to have to do some work. Oh God, I don't want to do the work. I want to just let Jesus do it all for me. All right, you just go ahead and let Him do that. Because you're going to find out Jesus is going to put it right back on you. Jesus is going to let you do it. Because if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. So if we come back to this place and we begin to let there be light, that's God said. Comes back to the center column. The three mothers. Comes right back to the center column. The same thing's true over here. You're three. You're a triune being. You're a spirit, you're a soul, and you're a physical body. And in every one are important. Leave out one, just leave out one, you're not complete. You're not W-H-O-L-E. But if you get W-H-O-L-E right, you will be H-O-L-Y right. And H-O-L-Y ain't got anything to do with what you do or say or don't. You don't judge somebody because of what they do or say. Because if you get this thing whole, W-H-O-L-E, complete, you get your right and your left hemispheres balanced. Come back to the balance of it. Come back to that place where we balance that. Then we will speak. We will speak. Let there be light. And the light is that creative energy. It's the power. It's the power. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to disconnect right here. And we'll pick this up some more. I want to work on the form and void, Tahu and Bohu. I want to actually work on the Trinity, some more on the three mothers, and try to bring more clarity to it, more empowerment, because to me, the clearer it gets, the more powerful I become. And my whole purpose is that we become the powerful creatures we have been created to be. I want us to display that. I want to live it. I do. And I think mostly you do too. I think we all do. So when we begin to live this power, and you'll see, and this is not, this is just not something I want to take over lightly, because we'll get to the three mothers. When we have Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4, they establish these truths right here. They establish the tree of life. I'm talking about the Kabbalah, Kabbalistic tree of life, that has the three pillars. They establish the seven yoms, the seven facets of life that have to do with the physical body which is the tree of life. But notice in Genesis 2, you have the tree of life, and then you have the tree. Well, let me show you something here in Genesis 2, just real quickly. I want you to see this, because it's not two, it's actually just one. And I'll show you how the two are in one right here, if you look at this. Genesis chapter 2, And verse 9, it says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Also in the middle of the garden. Not two trees. Also, it's just one tree. The tree of life. This is the tree of life, the center column. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And every time I put this up, I think the women say, "Oh my God, you got us evil." Well, sad to say is we have lost the understanding of right and left, which we all have. You all have right and left. And not, we take the word evil always to be bad, wrong. But do you realize this word right here, good and evil, ra is the Hebrew word for evil, ra. But ra is also the Hebrew word for friend. Ra is also the Hebrew word for lover. Now you didn't know that because nobody ever told you that. They just translated it here, evil. And when we did that, you go over to the book of Isaiah, it says, "And God created good and evil." In other words, it's saying God created the right and the left. God created the male and the female. Why? Because God is androgynous. God is male and female. But when we look at it, so when I say evil, I'm not talking, I don't think bad anymore. I'm thinking lover. That's what I'm thinking because I'm seeing it now from the Hebrew perspective. You all heard this word, is. And you know this word, is, you know where it comes from? It comes from the Egyptian, is. Is. Ra. Do you know where the Hebrew word Ra comes from? It comes from Egyptian. Ra is a word for the sun, S-U-N. And then, you've all heard the word El. It comes from Egyptian. El, it means the power of the sun. And so, you've all heard of Is-Ra-El. So you see, Ra actually is the love that holds those two powers together. And when you start to open your eyes and you begin to see it this way, you begin to realize, I don't know why they put evil there. I'm not saying that there's not bad things happening in the world. I'm not saying that there's not what we would call wicked or corrupt people. I'm not saying that at all. It's just people who've gotten off track and don't know who they are. Could be either one of us or all of us. Or not y'all. Could be me. I can tell you right straight up, it could very easily have been me. You know, because I was definitely on the wrong path. There ain't no question about that. I was, you know, my friends were not friends that built me up. But when we get these right, you get these columns, these three columns right, the male and the female, the positive and the negative, the tahu and bohu, the good and evil, love, the right and the left, it on and on and on and on. The hot, the cold, it's everywhere. It's everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, it's going to be there. You get these balanced. Mm-hmm. You get them balanced. When we get the balance, we get the powers balanced. And we realize the tree of life is the center column. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are right, the knowledge of right and left, the knowledge of right and left. Balanced. Oh, hallelujah. That's another thing. That empowers you. And that's what we want. We want empowerment. Okay, amen. Y'all got any questions or comments?
Just talking about that balance. The scripture says something about weighing the balance and found wanting.
And yes.
If we don't find that balance, then we're found wanting.
Yeah, we're
found. Because you know we won't have fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Balance.
The word Elohim, that second one over from Ali.
The Lamed.
Yeah. Is that the number 3?
That's the number 30.
Oh, okay.
That's the number 30, which includes the 3. It does include the 3.
I said that is because, was you saying that was creativity?
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like a woman's belly.
It does, doesn't it? Well, that's how it's built. It actually, the word Lamed, it means the teacher. 30, you remember in Hebrew mythology, in the mythologies of the Hebrew, the Midrash, they said that a rabbi has to be at least 30 years old before he can be a teacher. At 30 years old, it's time for him to marry. So that 30 had to do with maturity, etc. But it, in Gematria, you just take away the 0 and it represents the Gimiel, the 3. And again, it comes back to, you're exactly right, the balance. The balance of. And then the Hay, that's 5. That's feminine energy to create. The Yod is the male and female. It's 10. It's the 1, which is the phallic and the yoni. And then the final Mem is 600. Which it means water that's been drawn up to its greatest potential. So when you have the Temple of Solomon, and again, I told you, you have the Aleph, you have the Temple of Solomon. This one right here represents feminine energy, water, okay? And this one right here represents masculine energy. And when you put them together, you have the Star of David. And that's exactly how they're meant to be understood. Exactly the way they are. So these are the 3 mothers, the Aleph, Star of David, the feminine energy, female, masculine, water, creativity, material, and then the male energy, productivity, the seed. But you got to balance them all. Not any good to have one or the other, you got to have them all. Balance them. Okay, anybody else? Okay.
Well, I had an issue that came up a couple of weeks ago that I didn't want to throw a rock, but I wanted to throw a brick.
I do understand what you mean. I was out, I was kind of with you on that, and I wanted to throw a big old brick too, cement block.
I just had to bring it into balance.
Yeah.